First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Well, welcome, everyone, to Friday. We made it to Friday. And yes, I'm just sitting here typing in the Facebook page there so that people on Facebook can go and listen to Spouting Off Live. How cool is that? Yes, Fridays I always like to use as a way to remind you to use cash whenever possible. Cash Friday. Now, you could do Cash Tuesday, Cash Thursday, but Cash Friday is something Catherine Austin Fitz came up with. And you think it's a spit in the ocean to use cash. And because the more you use cash, the more you validate its use of cash, if that makes any sense at all. Most people are figuring out that our digital society is all a part of the surveillance society, which doesn't contribute to privacy or freedom. And cash is a free, anonymous exchange, which is how it all started before the digitized society became a supposed necessity. So it's one of those things, use it or lose it. Pay cash whenever you can. Don't allow yourself, or at least pay cash on Friday, which I always encourage. Don't allow yourself to get roped into the idea that I'll get a few airlines points, and who the heck wants to fly these days anyway? A lot of incentives in order to get you online. Have you noticed that there are even incentives to use your phone to get coupons at the grocery store? You can't just either clip a coupon or get a discount, or the grocery store I go to sometimes has coupons right there in the aisle. But no, they have to create new and constantly changing ways to give you free stuff. That's always the kicker, you know. Give you free stuff in order to change or manipulate your behavior. The grocery store I go to gives away free stuff on Sunday by hooking into their app. Their app. Everybody has apps. I know, I sound like I'm 94, right? But all of that digital stuff is designed to monitor what you buy, where you buy, when you buy, how you buy, and if you buy eventually. Yes, there is. This is not a conspiracy theory. And now people are fighting back and realizing that the whole idea of a conspiracy theory was actually created by the CIA to push down the whole idea that indeed our suspicions about the JFK assassination, which have been going on for well over 50 years, and that what we were fed by the Warren Commission were lies, lies. Did we know exactly what happened? No. But did it make sense what they were telling us? No, it never did. And so they called that a conspiracy theory. Now, the same thing, we're really close to the truth when something is called a conspiracy theory. Now, that doesn't mean, I must qualify, that there aren't really outrageous things that are conspiracy theories. And that's the tough part. How do you tell a difference between a conspiracy theory and just wacko craziness? Well, guess what? You have to be willing to say you don't know sometimes, because until the facts will out, until you know what you know, you can't always know. How about that? You can't always know what's true, but you are always allowed to question anyone who tells you they have a monopoly and they have cornered the market on truth, and you'd better accept it. I don't care if that's religiously or any other way. A lot of people are always telling you that they've cornered the market on truth, but it creates a lot more credibility when you talk to people who you ask them a question, and instead of being a know-it-all, they say, well, I don't know yet. We're just going to have to see. As arrogant as the reputation of Donald Trump has always been, one of his favorite phrases is, well, we'll see how it turns out. Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. It would be nice to say that a lot more often. Let's see what happens. In terms of the conspiracy theories about cash, which is where I started this little rant, the idea of social credit scores ain't no conspiracy theory, because it is in operation in communist China, and that's exactly what they want to bring here. Is there anyone yet? Raise your hand, everyone. Raise your hand. Is there anybody who does not believe that we have card-carrying, okay, without the cards, ideological communists in our government? Not always in supposedly elected positions, but as unelected bureaucrats who don't care who's president, because they're going to be there either way. They are really what the definition of the deep state is all about. Many of them are the ones calling the shots, COVID and otherwise. Do we know their names? No. Do we need to? No, not necessarily. I had an argument about that with somebody. It was more of a discussion on email about, and this is a really super smart guy who said, I never know who you're talking about when you say they, who's they? And you're using a you're making a statement without a pronoun or identifying your pronouns. That's a whole other story. Pronouns have gotten a bad rap. But in this case, it goes back to not always knowing, but still being able to speculate and looking at behavior. I am a lousy math person. I probably have some of that math anxiety, but I understand math sometimes in an ideological way, if that makes any sense. I'm not a bad money manager per se, household, but I don't think of math in the same way some people do. Maybe it's because I'm left-handed. I'm not really sure. But I think in terms of principles and ideas of math instead of the actual numbers in math. And what I figured out, and boy, even my distractions have distractions today. What I figured out is that I can't remember what I was going to say. So I am going to shift gears here and talk about something that I have 5 minutes to talk about right now. I'm sure when I go back and listen to this, I will go, why didn't I stay on focus? Well, I just didn't. It happens sometimes. Maybe it's Friday. If you have a comment on this little rant, you can email me at Karen@KarenCataline.com. All right. So here is another issue on my list. And this one really busts my chops, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know about you. It was another headline that was there for a cup of coffee, and then it was gone. But you better believe that they're working on it. Headline, Biden rolls out renters' bill of rights as lawmakers push for federal rent control laws, and there's a video. Now, as soon as I hear rent control, my the hair on the back of my neck stands up, because I lived in an environment where there was rent control. In my 20s and early 30s, I lived in New York City, where rent control was a staple of the rental market, and it created nothing but havoc and misery, not just for landlords, but for tenants as well. This is a communist move in order for the government to involve itself in every private interaction. We're back to why we want to pay cash, because the government wants to dictate the behavior of individuals who engage in free commerce. Rent control is very much like during the Nixon years when they were discussing wage and price controls, which has just an extremely socialist and communist feel to it, more than just a feel. And people resist that if they understand free markets. In the case of rent control, the very notion that the federal government can impose rent control all over this country, that is another dream of the communists and of the left, because they do not want private individuals renting out property. They want, and how do they get it done? How do they constantly market and sell more control and less freedom to the masses and get them to buy it? Well, what they do is they pose themselves as the champions of the little guy, and then their policies do nothing but harm not only the little guy, but all of the guys. Anybody who wishes to freely engage in honest commerce one to another, they're going to say that, of course, it's the tenants, because there are more tenants than there are landlords, except they'll never go after the big corporation tenants. They'll only go after little guys, just like they go after small businesses, not big businesses anymore. And this way, they can get another victim group, right? Another victim group is tenants, tenants, the rents are going up. We need help from the federal government. All the help from the federal government does is to empower the government and to make poor people poorer. Republicans, please do not fall for this and debate the issue instead of debate the motive. The motive is control. The motive is more government centralized power, and Republicans tend to debate, well, is it good or is it bad? It's bad, 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 always bad, because they want more government control. That's the answer to the question. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off here on WSMN, and we will be back with our very first guest. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
One of the things that I really like about MyPillow is the support. It gives my neck a little hug.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Call or go online to take advantage of my best offer ever. For a limited time, when you use your promo code, you can get premium MyPillows regularly $69.98, now only $29.98. With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM, R-A-M. That's 1-800-867-0416 and use the promo code RAM.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to the Secret War, a Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government. and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free.
Thanks, Pat. Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Call now, toll free, 866-883-2741. That's 866-883-2741.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Tom and Levi.
Tom is the smartest man I know. He's been a professor at two major universities, been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, he told me that he was having problems in his classes. I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. And he was telling them that he was doing it as a favor to them, but I think in reality, he just wanted to get out of there. I was really starting to worry because I saw something was wrong.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me, and my love for him was just immense.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Sign up for Karen's newsletter and read her columns at karencataline.com. Now back to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off, and this is our final show of the week. You can hear Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern, and you can listen to it live at www.wsmn.live, and we're on Getter and Facebook and a whole bunch of other places. Our networks are growing. Actually, we're also on the K-Star radio network and a few others. One of the things I love to do on the radio program here is to track down guests that are not being heard from, at least on our shows on a regular basis. And I get them from a lot of different places. And there was an article that somebody sent me by a fellow named Stress-Free Bill. And he wrote a piece called Something Isn't Adding Up. And that caught my attention. And I loved it. And I found him. Turned out he's a blogger. And he's best known, his pen name is Stress-Free Bill, but his name is Bill Luzniski, and he is a lifelong business owner, turned writer, turned political activist. After writing a number one bestseller on globalism, he founded the grassroots political organization Primary, the ruling class. It gets more interesting all the time, doesn't it? Which is dedicated to the reformation of the Republican Party. Stress-Free Bill, welcome to Spouting Off. Good to have you.
Hey, thank you, Karen. It's absolutely an honor. You have a great show and a great program, and appreciate the invite.
Well, thank you. Well, why don't we start? We do this in the inverse way, usually, and start with what Primary the Ruling Class .com is all about and what you would like. What's your message there and how'd you come up with that?
Well, yeah, so it's probably a longer story than we have time for, is to go through all the trials and tribulations and the left turns and right turns and everything that really led up to this situation. But the long and the short of it is, Primary the Ruling Class is a grassroots organization. As you said, we actually have formed a political action committee, PRC PAC, that goes along with it. But we are dedicated to reforming the Republican Party. In other words, getting rid of the rhinos, Karen, the people that have sabotaged us and, you know, befuddled and fooled the good conservative voters in our country forever and ever. And we're very, I'd like to say we're very astute on primary elections and how to maneuver in those primary elections to undercut people like Mitch McConnell, for example, who has done a lot of, he's done some good things, but he's done a lot of sabotaging of the conservative agenda. So we basically are actually forming chapters all around the country as we speak. We have dues and memberships where people can join us, and we raise money. So we've got about a two-year run up until the next 2024 election cycle. We did a good job, we think, in this last election cycle, even though we firmly believe there was a lot of, shall we say, chicanery going on with the election process. So we're kind of doing two things. We're raising money for the 2024 election cycle, but we're also very involved in election integrity in the meantime, leading up to that. So we believe in a top-down, bottom-up approach. The bottom-up has to do with local involvement, election integrity, getting involved with local precincts. We do a tremendous amount of education, activism, organization for people, again, in all different areas of the country to help get them involved in the GOP, the Republican Party. And then we do top-down, which is what I consider the elections on an every two-year cycle. So I don't know if that kind of explains it, but we do have a motto.
No,
we,
it
we
does.
Believe that,
yeah. Go ahead.
Well, we have a motto. We simply say that if we save the GOP, we save America. And so all of our efforts are directed in that direction.
Okay. So for everybody who's interested, we'll give your website primary, therulingclass.com. That's easy. I can hear the voices of listeners, something we've been told a lot. Those people who are activists or whatever, they're always told, well, if you root out all the people that are so-called moderates, then doesn't that defeat the purpose of the so-called big tent? And this is happening all over the country now, where the people who have said big tent, it only goes in one direction. They expect grassroots conservatives to go along because it's a big tent. But when the reverse is true, they never support the conservative idea, grassroots conservatives who are concerned about growing communism in our country. Talk about that, though, because I sort of jumped the gun and gave you the point. But a lot of people are always told that. But you have to vote for our Republican in name only. Right? Because then we have to have a big tent. We have to have more votes.
Well, yeah, that's a great question. It jumps straight to the heart of things. I'd like to respond to it from two different directions, if that's okay. The first one is short, so I'll do it very quickly. And I would simply ask all your listeners a simple question. I mean, to set it up, we all know that our country has incrementally been drifting to the left towards socialism and now full-out communism over a matter of decades. And the moderates, as you talk, as you name them, have been instrumental in allowing that drift to happen. So my first question, my first response is, you know, simply, do you want to incrementally try to take your country back? Do you want to sacrifice another generation? Do you want to wait another 20 years to get our country back to the free, liberty-loving society that it is meant to be? So that's the first response I would give you. The second, though, has to do with strategy that Mitch McConnell and you call them moderates. I call them globalists, Karen, because I try to cut to the chase. Let's follow the money trail. Let's figure out what's really going on here. And there are trillions of dollars behind globalism, which is not to be confused with globalization, but that's another conversation. Globalism is an ism, just like communism, socialism. It's an ideology. There's a tremendous amount of money behind it. And it has corrupted, bought and sold leadership of both parties, which is another reason that we feel so strongly. And it's the reason we're called primary the ruling class. That's kind of what that all gets to. So my point is this. The globalists, people like Mitch McConnell, for years have told us, oh, no, you can't get involved in primary elections. You can't try to primary a Republican incumbent, because you'll just put someone up there that's unelectable. They're too far to the right. They won't appeal to the general masses. And this is how they have protected their stranglehold and their leadership on the Republican Party going back multiple election cycles. And it's all bogus. It doesn't stand the test of time, especially when you've got trends around the country, the MAGA trends established by Donald Trump, the America First movement that is ongoing out there. People, we did have a red wave. Now, I know it didn't actually show up in the polls that way, but it's no secret amongst a whole bunch of people that really understand what's going on, that there was a red wave in the sense of what people want, how they're voting, and what they're pushing for. And we will get our election problem corrected. That's the white elephant, or excuse me, the elephant in the room. But that will be taken care of and is being taken care of. But when you have a red wave, no, you absolutely put your best people forward and you get them in office and you get the moderates out of there. Was that a fair answer?
No, that's a wonderful answer. And because there's so many fun things to talk to you about, I'm going to leave that topic for now and get to your article, which I really hope everybody will read, and it's called Something Isn't Adding Up. It's at stressfreebill.substack.com. And when I called you sort of out of nowhere, got your phone number, you said, well, what part interested you? And you caught me unawares because it had been a couple of days since I read it. And so I had to reread it again. And I'm delighted with the whole piece because it, I think you address what a lot of people are feeling, that you had this funny feeling in the pit of your stomach that something isn't right in the country on a very, I hate using the word, existential level. And then at the end of the piece, you ask a question that you say you're not being able to answer this question. You sound like a bright guy. I bet you have answers. And it's been eating at you. Why is Christianity so vilified, targeted, and scorned? And it's funny. I'm not a Christian, but I have a lot of Christian friends. And I just talked to one Christian pastor, one of my dearest friends, who I've had on the program a lot. And we were talking about this very question. And I'm just going to give you an answer and then let you wax philosophic, if that's okay. The answer partly is that people who are of faith, number one, they're always targeted by communists and socialists, because the idea of God is to recognize that God made us as very unique individual people. God was not a collectivist, number one. And of course, it flies in the face of people who want to be God, not only in their universe, but in everyone else's. And so they see God as a threat. The biggest threat there is, but it's against the whole notion of collectivism and conformity. Otherwise, God would have made us all the same. Talk about this piece, if you would. I'm sorry I went on so long. And you tell us what you particularly loved about this piece or why you wrote it. I encourage people to read it.
Well, thank you, Karen. You're fun to talk to, by the way. I want to mention this because it kind of goes along with what you're saying. I didn't realize, I mean, I'm having fun here and you kind of honed in on something I wasn't quite expecting, but it's absolutely serendipity. I actually published another Substack this morning called Why Are We Keeping Christianity Out of Our Schools? So it goes along and it ties in very much with what you're talking about right here.
Because it's dangerous, even if you think about wokeism.
Yes, exactly. Well, if you think about it, though, and here's a fundamental question I would ask, and both articles kind of reflect on this issue. If you leave this is going to sound anathema, maybe to some people are anathema, but if you take believing in God out of it, why would even a non-believer not want the moralities, principles, and ethics of Judeo-Christianity, of that Christian ethic taught to our children? If you just take the religion out of it for a moment, the morals, principles, ethics, the idea that you shouldn't steal, the idea that you should honor the family, the idea that you should not murder, right? You should treat each other fairly.
What a radical idea.
Exactly. And, how did we let this get taken out of our schools in the first place? Because obviously education is what starts what, build. And it's been an incremental thing. We come back to incrementalism again. But it's happened. And, again, we don't need incremental changes, incremental fixes. The adults need to take back the room, Karen, is the bottom line here. And we need to realize that, you know what? Equity is not equality. It's not the same thing. Equality of outcome is not the same thing as equality of opportunity. And we need to be adults, and we need to not be afraid to explain this, to stand up explain our positions, and insist that we go back to those values. And we need to stop being ashamed that someone might relate it to a religious belief. I personally am a Christian. I have no problem saying that. But I, I don't judge other people based on what they, what their beliefs are. I think behavior never lies. And if I've got somebody in the school system, either administratively or as a teacher, actively teaching morals and ethics and values that I think are wrong, I will speak against them. And I will propose that they speak values, morals, principles, and ethics that I believe are right. And history tends to back me up, by the way. So,
or just
I don't
teach
know if that's
reading and writing and leave the moral education to parents, but the opposite is happening. The exact opposite, which is the schools are indoctrinating kids and changing whatever principles they're getting at home. Forgive me, but we've got only, boy, things go really, really fast. You can comment on that, but I also just want in our last 2 minutes for you to talk about this idea, which is this is the year, the time of everyday people getting involved, speaking out, and doing something that like what you're doing. And so if you wanted to give other people advice, you've got a blog, you've got a book you published, and you are involved. If people are feeling helpless or hopeless and they don't know how to get involved, give them a shot in the arm. I have a feeling you could do that very well. Very well, Stress-Free Bill. Tell them how they can do what you're doing, only their own way.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. I love that. And there's a lot of different ways, but you named the key to it. Get involved. Do what you can do. Do what you feel comfortable with, but do something. Be able to tell your grandchildren or great-grandchildren, or let your kids be able to say, yeah, you know, your great-granddad or grandmother, they were involved in the great globalist wars back in the 2020s. I mean, make sure you have that kind of legacy in your family. Now, that could be, I mean, I never intended to write a book. I never intended to found a political organization. Maybe that's your ballywick. Maybe you're comfortable with that. You've built teams before. Great. Go for it. Maybe you like writing. You know, create a Substack or a blog or whatever. Maybe you're talented like Karen is here and you want to get a radio show or a podcast going, do that. If not that, then find other like-minded people. I mean, I'm partial to PRC PAC, you know, primaryoftherulingclass.com. You can join organizations like ours. And, you know, you have a lot of like-minded people you can rub shoulders with, but do something. Find someone to join. Find someone to lock arms with, but don't set home. Our nation is at stake. And you know what, Karen? Our kids are worth it. So go out there and let's make this thing happen.
Great. Well, keep up the great work. Bill Luzniski, otherwise known as Stress-Free Bill. You can find him at primarytherulingclass.com. And the more the merrier, get involved. And thanks so much for joining us. And thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Karen.
My pleasure. Our pleasure, actually. We love hearing from people who are out there doing stuff. We've got a wonderful writer next. Can't wait to tell you about him. I've had him on before, but not here and not in a long time. Karen Cataline, you're listening to Spouting Off. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. They're not out to tell you the truth of what's happening. They're out to tell you the picture of the world that they represent. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in facts, and prevent people from being misled. The Epoch Times is independent. We're not controlled by any special interest, and we never will be. This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would ensnare this country in ignorance, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth. Subscribe today to our digital edition at theepochtimes.com and join the Americans who are seeking truth and tradition. Read The Difference on all your devices. We'd love to have you on board.
Are you tired of the same old snacks? Looking for something a little healthier than that bag of chips or candy bar? Even your average bag of trail mix these days is little more than peanuts, raisins, and candy-coated chocolate. Not very healthy, is it? Allow me to introduce you to White Mountain Munchies. Made from 100% all-natural ingredients, White Mountain Munchies combines unique flavors with nutritional value that will tingle your taste buds and strengthen and sustain your overall health and wellness. Eating good never tasted so good. From Maggie's Maple Madness to Hannah's Heavenly Harvest, Grayson's Getaway Goodies, and our limited edition Christmas blend, Jacoby's Jolly Jumble, White Mountain Munchies offers nutritious and delicious snacks that the whole family is sure to love. Pick yours up now through our easy-to-use online store at whitemountainmunchies.com. White Mountain Munchies, non-GMO when you're on the go.
Spouting Off with Karen Cataline will return in a moment.
Hi, it's Karen Cataline. It's been almost a decade since I wrote Fat Lash Food Police in the Fear of Thin. It's about my early experiences in child beauty pageants and being put on extreme diets. Remember when that was shocking? Sadly, that seems like child's play compared to what we are watching today when politicians and woke corporations are actually advocating for the sexualization of children. Everyone's children. We're watching a frontal attack on childhood innocence. This is one story, my story. Fat Lash illustrates and explains why good boundaries are essential for kids to grow up healthy. They need their parents to set them, not the government. Get Fat Lash today. It's available in paperback or ebook at Amazon or at my website, KarenCataline.com.
And now, more Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back, everyone, to Spouting Off. Karen Cataline, and we're going to wrap up this show with someone I haven't spoken to in a long time, but I used to talk to him a lot when I first started in talk radio, and it is such a pleasure not only to talk to him, to find out how he has grown as a writer. He is a writer now, I don't think he was then, for PJ Media. He's the author of Airborne, How the Liberal Media Weaponized the Coronavirus Against Donald Trump, and the best-selling book, The Worst President in History, The Legacy of Barack Obama, and The Scandalous Presidency of Barack Obama. Matt Margolis, welcome to Spouting Off. Good to have you.
Thanks. It's great to be back again.
Yes, it is. Got to have you on more often. You wrote a piece that I said, I got to have him on. And sure enough, and this is the headline, and then we'll be off and running. Evidence of Biden family influence peddling schemes is everywhere, says Comer. And this was a piece in PJ Media. Tell us about it. What do we need to know?
Well, you know, we know that the Republicans have been talking about investigating Joe Biden for all sorts of things, including family corruption. And now that they're in the majority, they are working on doing that. And James Comer, the chair of the House Oversight Committee, recently said that, you know, there's plenty of evidence of all kinds of corruption going on within Joe Biden's family. And we've been talking about this for years in conservative media about how he used his position, even while in the Senate, to help enrich his family. And this is stuff that has been talked about a lot in conservative media, but nothing's really happened with it for too long. And it looks like we're finally seeing Republicans are actually going to get to the bottom of it, which is good because no one ever seems to want to talk about it for the longest time.
Yeah, and I think they're green lighting this probably, and I've said this many times, they want to off Joe Biden. And who in their right mind doesn't think that some of this information they weren't painfully, acutely aware of? Why? Because they were protecting the Biden crime family for more than 2 years, throughout the election and the whole first 2 years. All of a sudden, you can say Hunter Biden's laptop without getting censored. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, there's always been theories that Joe Biden was kind of the Trojan horse candidate, the guy who was electable and moderate, centrist, whatever, all those lies, and that they just needed him to get back in the White House, and then that he would serve a little bit of time there, and then he would be let go in favor of someone else. In this case, it would have been Kamala Harris. You know, that has not happened yet, probably because everyone realized, oh, man, Kamala Harris is just really, really awful, and nobody likes her. So that kind of insulated him for a while. But, I noted this, a couple weeks ago when the classified documents scandal first broke, is that, there had been reports that Biden was getting ready to launch his reelection campaign just a few days before this new scandal broke. And I think this is clearly an effort to make sure that Biden realizes, hey, you know, you can't run for re-election. We want someone else, because polls show Democrats don't even want him to run. So this to me is their way of saying, you know, it's time to pass the torch.
There was a billboard I heard just a couple blocks from the White House, sponsored by Democrats, that said, "Don't run Joe." And so there is a movement out there. But, you know, for conservatives and grassrootsers who look at this, who in their right mind thinks that any Democrat who was run by the Democrats is going to be making policy and making decisions? Does anybody think Kamala Harris would be making decisions, or would it be the whomevers in the deep state who are were never elected, but who call the shots, whomever or wherever they are, who are making these policy decisions, and leftists are just expected to go along with it? And, you know, conformist as they are, they do go along with it.
It's true. I mean, I don't think anybody really believes that Joe Biden is the one calling the shots. I mean, I don't think anyone ever thought that even before he was elected, because that really wasn't his job. His job was was just to win, because they didn't see anyone else as being electable.
Right. And you know what? You're a great person to ask this question, to make the bridge, because you've written books and I hate to call them courageous, because it shouldn't be courageous, shouldn't require courage to write a book that opposes a U.S. president. The left is allowed to do it and censor a U.S. president, a duly elected president like Donald Trump. But, you know, if you criticize any Democrat, particularly Barack Obama, you're racist, racist, racist. But you have done so anyway and written a couple of books about it. Most people call the Biden administration Obama's third term. What say you?
Well, you know, it's a funny observation, because even Barack Obama has kind of said that that Joe Biden's term is kind of like his third term. So I mean, no one seems to really argue that this isn't really what's happening, and it's true, because most of the big things that Joe Biden has done has been essentially to bring us back to the Obama era status quo. You know, he's been undoing things that happened under Trump, which had reversed things that had happened under Obama. So he's bringing us, I mean, there's not a lot of originality in the Biden administration. You know, it's full of Obama administration retreads. And so, you know, Biden is just kind of taking everything that happened under Trump and kind of bringing it back to those glory days of the Obama era.
Matt, it's so much more on steroids, though. The communist socialist agenda, using force and mandates and that kind of thing, is things I'm not sure. I mean, I wouldn't say Obama couldn't get away with it, but they were biding their time. Until the country was weaker and more ready for, you know, mandates like vax mandates, which is astonishing considering my body, my choice. So this is Obama administration on steroids, really. But I'm not sure that Obama wouldn't have done all those things if he had gotten away with it then. I mean, I don't know. What do you think? That's what a lot of people are talking about at the water cooler, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's obvious that Obama got away with a lot of things while he was president. I wrote quite a bit about that. You know, he was always under the dark cloud of scandal throughout his time in office. The problem was that the media was hardly ever calling him out on that. You know, Democrats know that the media is overwhelmingly on their side. And so they do what they can and see what they can get away with. Obama in particular got away with a lot because he was the first black president.
but
Joe Biden
and
doesn't have that same, he doesn't have the race card to play. You know, he does the things that happened under Obama and he kind of goes a little bit beyond. But, you know, he does not get the exact same protection as Barack Obama did. And, you know, we're starting to see that, you know, it happened after Afghanistan. And now it's happening with the classified documents scandal where, you know, the media is actually talking about it and kind of to a small degree holding them to account.
Yeah, but I think they've given the green light to the media. Okay, it's okay for you to do your job on Biden now because, you know, his days are numbered. I want to ask you about an obscure thing that, since you were an Obama watcher, that a lot of people forget about, and it was one of those watershed moments that you look back on with hindsight 2020, and you say, aha. And that was, remember the story during the Obama years? It was like 24-hour story. It didn't even get a hiccup, really, when there was this huge information breach of human resources, high-level official documents that, were compromised and sent to the communist Chinese. Remember that?
Yeah, that was the OPM hacking, I believe it was.
Yeah, and people wonder how it's possible to corrupt high-level officials so easily. Have you ever either written about that or, you know, this is like the connect the dots kind of thing as to how it's possible that so many people have been exposed as going along with a radical agenda that completely does the bidding of foreign entities like communist China? Well, gee, you know, if you know everybody's peccadilloes, Swalwell or whatever, and if sex is their thing, then you give them a sexy girl. If money is their thing, you make sure, like Biden, that you fill their coffers with money with a string attached. That's what I've been speculating about. I have absolutely no evidence. It's just remembering these things that a lot of people have a short memory about. I wonder if you could expound on that a little. Or anywhere
well,
else.
You know, I mean, the situation with China has been very interesting because, you know, we do have Democrats like Joe Biden who have insisted that China is not our enemy. And, you know, we're constantly seeing them being their relationships with China that are coming under scrutiny because we're wondering, you know, what exactly is going on there? You know, it's just like the Penn Biden Center, you know, his think tank, if you want to call it a think tank, that's got a whole bunch of Chinese money behind it through the university. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of questions that we need to answer because the China connection is something that is a significant one because, you know, I mean, we spent how many years trying to research or look into, investigate, you know, the Donald Trump's connections to Russia, which don't exist. And yet here we have plenty of evidence that there may be several compromised politicians serving in government right now who are in bed with China and doing their bidding. It really makes no sense that there's not enough outrage about this. You know, China seems to get
so
all the breaks.
And it's so brazen, Matt. It's so brazen. It's done in plain view where all can see. Because they know there won't be accountability. I think that's the thing that makes everyday citizens angrier and more helpless than anything else, is that there's never any accountability.
It's true. I mean, just look at the Democrats' climate agenda. You know, they're constantly expecting the United States to give up all this money for this worldwide efforts against climate change. But what country seems to get away with not having to do anything at all? It's China.
China
is the biggest polluter in the world.
Always. Yes. Who's protesting China's climate agenda? Protesting that they I mean, it's absurd. It's stick it to your enemies and make sure that you protect your friends. That's the third world way, isn't it?
Yeah. And what kills me is that this is stuff that Donald Trump was warning us about. They're, you know,
yes,
Beijing Biden, all that, you know. So it's not like we weren't told this was a problem and that we had to do something about it. It's just that not enough people seem to care.
But that was a conspiracy theory. Once again, these were conspiracy theories that actually were true. In our last couple of minutes, it goes so fast with you, Matt Margolis. We'll have to have you back soon and not have it be so long. I hate asking you to make a prediction, but what do you think? Does Biden make it to a second term, or at least to run for president? Who do you think will be the nominee in the 2024 election for the Democrats?
Well, I strongly believe that this scandal is being used as a pretext to get him to not run. I'm not sure whether it's going to work. I think it probably will, because there's just too many in the Democratic Party that don't want Biden to run. They certainly don't want him to necessarily run and potentially win and then eventually get saddled with Kamala Harris. The only way to not get saddled with Kamala Harris is for Biden to essentially say, I'm not going to run, and she has to run an open primary, because then she'll have to face other Democrats who are more likable and better campaigners. So who the Democrats might nominate, it's an open question. I know a lot of people who seem to think that with Biden out of the running, that probably their best shot or the most likely candidate would be Gavin Newsom.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Michelle Obama. See, I don't think Democrats ever leave things to chance. They appoint, they anoint. They anoint and appoint. I love it. And I think they've got it all worked out. And frankly, Biden said something not very long ago, another slip of the tongue in which he was caught telling the truth, when he said, if I don't go along with the right thing, I'm paraphrasing, I go away. I don't think they need this or anything else to get rid of Biden. They're using it for some reason. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there. Matt Margolis, thank you so much for joining us. They can find you right at pjmedia.com, right?
Yep.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work. We so appreciate it. Matt Margolis, M-A-R-G-O-L-I-S. Thanks again. Well, that does it for the whole week here on Spouting Off. Thanks to everyone who makes our show possible, from Juan and Art and George and you who make our show possible. Tune in next Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern, when there will be so much more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.